A reflection on the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 23 to 27, which is the reading for the first evening prayer of the Feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary. May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I realized when I read this passage that I have two links with it personally, one very recently, and one nearly 6 years ago. The more recent link came about when I was on a tour of Turkey, entitled In the Footsteps of St. Paul. I was with a Christian group, all of whom are part of the Kaseo movement, and we were working our way by boat from Bodrum around the coast, with our destination being Ephesus. Once we had visited Ephesus and walked around it for the morning, we went to Miriam Anna Avi, our Mother Mary's house. Tradition has it that Mary, the mother of Jesus, spent the later years of her life at that place, not far from Ephesus. The reason she was there was that John had been asked by Jesus to look after her. So when he went there during the persecution of Christians in Jerusalem, he took Mary with him. I had never heard this story, and even our tour leader was not aware that there was a chapel where the group could celebrate the Eucharist. It was actually our Muslim guide who arranged it. We were warmly welcomed by one of the monks there, and had a wonderful service in the little chapel. And so to the other connection with the reading. Nearly 6 years ago, I went on a six-day silent Ignatian retreat to a place in North Wales called St. Bino's. For those of you who have no experience of such things, I'll explain briefly what happens. Each day you meet with a spiritual director who suggests two or three Bible passages for you to meditate on. You spend time reading the passage, and then either concentrate on a small phrase of it, if it's an Old Testament passage, or enter into the story, if it's a Gospel story. Having spent an hour or so meditating, you then write what happened, how you felt, any insights or difficulties you encountered. Ignatius of Loyola, who started these exercises, taught that people should expect both consolation, that is, comfortable experiences, and desolation, distressing or challenging experiences. Each day you return to your spiritual director and talk to him or her about what happened, and you are given new passages to meditate on. Apart from the meditation, you may spend your time as you wish, walking, doing crafts, painting, etc., but not chatting, as it's a silent retreat. 2 days into the retreat, my spiritual director started giving me passages from the Gospels and asking me to relate to Jesus as though I were Mary, to enter into the stories in her place and see and feel things that way. And so, over 4 days, as Mary, I entered into the story of Jesus' birth, the presentation in the temple, the wedding at Cana, the time when Mary and Jesus' brothers went looking for him as he taught, the Last Supper, and the crucifixion. My imagination also took me back to John's home after the crucifixion, and showed me a meeting between Mary and Jesus after he had risen. I was amazed at just how vivid these experiences were. Even before my spiritual director had given me suitable passages for me to assume the role of Mary, I had come across both consolation and desolation when meditating on Hosea, Isaiah, some of the Psalms, and some other Gospel stories. As Mary, as you can imagine, the emotions were very powerful indeed. There were some very happy moments and some incredibly sad times. The reality of the suffering of Jesus during the crucifixion had been looming larger and larger anyway for me. Seeing it all through Mary's eyes made it starkly real. On the last day of the retreat, there is only the morning available before you leave. I saw my spiritual director the day before, for the last time, and he gave me one final passage to meditate on. He offered it as a suggestion, leaving me free to take it up or not. The passage he suggested was the Annunciation. I think I realized that this would be a challenge and something special. I had spent time in my room on the other meditations, but for this one, I went into one of the small chapels and sat on the big cushions at the back. I read the story of the Annunciation, and then closed my eyes and let my mind consider it. I found myself revisiting the various events in Jesus' life that I had meditated on in the previous days. His birth, the visit to the temple, the wedding at Cana, the Last Supper, the crucifixion, the resurrection. As I sat there, tears streamed down my face for a very long time. And then I felt that I was being asked a question. As I thought about preparing this reflection, that question came back to my mind, and I knew I should share it with you. The question, to me as Mary, of course, was, if you had known then what you know now, would you have said yes? Had Mary been able to see the implications of her saying yes to God at the Annunciation, would she still have gone ahead, knowing that one day she would stand at the foot of the cross and hear her dying son make provision for her welfare? Could she possibly have volunteered for that pain? I gave it some thought, and I realized that, had I been Mary and known all that was to come, I would have said yes. In fact, when I looked back at my journal for that day, I had written yes times a million. I'd like to make it plain that suffering is not my lifestyle of choice. But when I looked at Mary's life, I felt that the gains far outweighed the difficulties. So what has that to do with you? One of the titles of Mary is that of God-bearer. Now, obviously, Mary is unique in physically bearing the baby Jesus. But each of us is called to be a God-bearer too, to bring Jesus to the world by who we are and what we do. And, like for Mary, if we say yes, then there will be joyful times, puzzling times, and possibly times of suffering as a result. Like Mary, we have a choice of whether or not to say yes when God calls us to do something. Saying no may well lead to an easier life, though perhaps a less fulfilling one. Since the retreat, I've had some difficult experiences. In fact, one of the worst periods of my life ever started just after that retreat, when I'd said yes to God's call on my life. In the midst of what happened, I can assure you that I was not embracing what was happening with any form of eagerness or grace. In fact, I wanted to get out of the situation and fast. However, later on I took an overview, rather like I did as Mary. I came to the conclusion that had I known at the beginning what I knew a couple of years down the line, I would still have said yes, because what I gained was worth all the difficulties. I've had experiences I could never have imagined as a result, including standing here talking to you. I've also learned a good deal about myself. Maybe you've had some tough times as a result of saying yes to God. Maybe you've chosen to tuck them away and not dwell on them because the memory is painful. I'd like to invite you to look over them again sometime and imagine God asking you, if you had known then, what you know now, would you have said yes? In this way, you would be rather like Mary, who pondered these things in her heart, as Luke tells us in the Nativity story. I hope that through your pondering, you will find that you would have said yes, because what you have gained has been worth it. Perhaps if you can gain that perspective, the next time things are tough, you may be able to hold on to hope as you go through them. If at the moment things are just too difficult for you to even consider this, I pray that one day soon you will come out the other side of the troubled times and will find peace. Perhaps one day you will be given the insight needed to know, as Paul tells us in Romans 8:28, that for those who love God, that is, for those who are called according to his purpose, all things are working together for good. Amen.